This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
Hello, everybody. This flavor. Is Ian Beckles. Welcome to Flavor in Your Ear. It's been a really long 2 weeks for me. I had my big event that we can't say went out without a flaw, but it was a success last Friday at the Mahaffey. There was a couple glitches here and there. There's a couple things we could have done better, but everybody left that party saying it's the best party they've been to and they had a great time. And to me, that's the most important thing. And Dignitary is my brand. And we're going to be doing a whole lot of events as we move forward. We're looking to do a boxing event, a big boxing event, hopefully nationally televised. We're looking to do a Halloween party. We're looking to bring in Mushroom Head. If you don't know much about them, Google them. They're a perfect band for a Halloween party. And Dignitary as a whole is going to start doing a whole lot of events because that's kind of what we do really well. So putting on events, filling in for Drew Garabo this week on 102.5 The Bone. Wednesday through Friday. That's been great. It's a great stage for me to get out there. Next week, I'll be filling in with a cat named Mo, and I'll be doing Monday through Friday at 7 to 10. So, you know, getting on Celestial Radio a little bit more, but still love doing my podcast every week. Now, there's a whole lot that goes on every week, and what you want to do is try to touch on all of it. It's always a long week, and these weeks have been a little longer than most. So I hope everybody stayed safe for the holiday. 4th of July just been by. A lot of things always happen. Fireworks, which I don't know if people should even ban fireworks. Every year, people are blowing their face off. People are blowing their hands off. Fireworks are going sideways and taking eyeballs out. I know they make a lot of money, and I probably would hear that the number is astronomical that they make on fireworks, but there's too many ham and eggers using fireworks. I live in the South Tampa area. I just moved over here, and it sounded like people were aiming fireworks at my door from 2 feet away. I don't know what kind of mortar fireworks they're giving out anymore, but I think they're just giving up straight sticks of dynamite because it just sounded like dynamite was going off until midnight. So obviously nobody sleeps. Obviously nobody works. People love fireworks. I guess it's an American thing. But ask Jason Pierre-Paul what fireworks are all about. Blew the man's hands off, which I thought was going to end his career. And much to my surprise, came out and is playing pretty dang good football. Actually, the Bucks could use him. It would be nice if they got him over here. But, you know, he's never going to be the same. If you looked, you know, Google his hand from after that fireworks going off in his hand. I would never touch a firework again. Not in my hand. I don't even know if I want to go watch a fireworks show anymore because every 5th of July, every single television station is showing situations where fireworks are gone bad. Okay. And that doesn't turn out well. So fireworks, I guess, is a part of, you know, USA. I guess it's worldwide, I'm pretty sure, for whatever celebrations. There's fireworks for Christmas. They do fireworks for every damn holiday out there. So I guess fireworks aren't going away. Another thing that's not going away is the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, which Joey Chestnut has become a rock star. So you become a rock star by jamming wet buns in your mouth, okay? I love a hot dog as much as everybody. I go to Mel's over here down over in Bush Boulevard. There's not that many hot dog places here in Tampa Bay, unfortunately. There's a few, but Mel's is the name that I remember over there on Bush. It's a little bit far from South Tampa, but when you need a hot dog, you got to do what you got to do. I like to sit down and relax myself and put a little mustard on it, a little onions, maybe relish if I'm feeling, you know, sassy. But not shoving hot dogs in my mouth with wet buns. I don't know how that's American. Hot dogs are American, but I guess watching that is, and I'm saying this, and I watch it every year. Sometimes I watch it twice. It's an odd thing, because in a weird way, I consider them athletes in a weird way, because you're not shoving 70 hot dogs in your mouth in 10 minutes without practicing. There's no way. There's technique to it. You got to get your stomach ready. You got to get your mind ready. If I shove 6 in my mouth like that, it's coming back up. Okay. So all these guys that are out there doing that, I guess I have respect for them in a way. When I was doing a Ron and Ian show, Joey Chestnut came in and everybody was acting like the dude was a rock star. So good for Joey Chestnut. I mean, he doesn't really have any athletic ability, but in an odd way, he's kind of an athlete. So Joey Chestnut has won 10 in a row. 70 hot dogs equals about 27,000 calories, which is, I don't know what the average person would need a day calorie-wise. I would think 2,500, maybe something like that. So that's a whole lot of calories coming in your body in 10 minutes. And it didn't happen this year. It didn't happen last year. But one year, somebody's going to stroke out there. Somebody's going to stroke out for the Nathan's Hot Dog Competition, and they're going to have to cancel it. Not this year, but it's going to happen. And what's weird is there's one big black guy that's there every year, and he's not even that good. You know, he's a rapper. He raps. And the MC raps, too, and he's actually not that bad in a weird way. So this big black guy, I don't remember his name because he's really irrelevant. He's a big, kind of a fattish dude. And the rest of them are little people. The rest of them are almost, there's guys up there that are almost cut up. So it's not a fat guy thing in a weird way. They had a 73-year-old guy up there. And he walked up and he looked 80. He was 73. And they always talk about what records they hold, okay? Some people had wings. Some people had jalapeno poppers. His thing was he ate 6 cans of Spam out of the can. Now, you got a strong stomach. Now, I actually like Spam in a weird way. When you fry it up, it kind of tastes like bologna. It's good. I like it. I haven't had it in a long time, so maybe I don't like it as much as I'm saying. But to eat 6 cans of Spam out of a can is gross. That jelly part? Yeesh, I feel like I'm gonna throw up right now. So that's over with. We don't have to watch that for a whole another year, okay? But in a weird way, I watch it every year. I tape it in case I'm gonna miss it, in case I'm not around the television. So I'm dogging it out, although I watch it every single year. And you know what? I'm gonna watch it next year. I like competition, and I don't know. It's weird. It's almost like a circus carny thing. People jamming those hot dogs in their mouth. It used to be Kobayashi back in the day until Joey Chestnut came around. And then I guess Kobayashi got full of himself and started his own league. But I don't see that on national television. So Kobayashi, you lose. Now, as far as Americana goes, I guess Monday Night Football would have to be in that category. And, you know, since I remember, I don't know how old, I've watched football forever. A funny thing, I probably watch hockey before I watch football, being from Montreal, Canada. But I've been watching football forever. Monday night football. Well, Monday nights is football time when it's football season. On Monday night, wherever I am, I'm watching Monday night football. Regardless if it's the Browns and the Ravens, I don't care who's playing. It's Monday night football. I love the opening credits. I love the opening song. It's changed many times. And Monday night, I'm somehow close to a television. Now, ESPN has been getting some bad publicity about being too far left, and they've been cutting salaries and they've been firing people. And I guess they're going to come out and they're going to bring out some different people to do the opening credits and the song. You know, we remember Hank Williams Jr. did it, and then he said something cockamamie that was kind of racist or odd, and they fired him. I know Carrie Underwood did it last year, and I liked looking at her legs. She has fantastic legs. And this year, I guess they're going to come back, and they're going to revamp it with Hank Williams Jr. again. They're going to give him a chance. They're going to bring in Jason Derulo, who is a kind of a pop star dancing type dude, kind of a Chris Brownie type of dude. And they're going to add Florida Georgia Line. So, you know, ESPN's not dumb. So they kind of got a left, somebody from the left, somebody from the right, and somebody from the middle. So I kind of, I'm curious to see how that song comes out, because it's one of those things where that song is so iconic. When that gets up, when that goes off, I don't care where I am, I'm stopping. And I know football's ready to go. So kind of looking forward to seeing how that music comes about. I don't know how they're going to mix Jason Derulo with Hank Williams. I think that's going to be interesting. Now, Wimbledon's going on as we speak. I like Wimbledon. And let me preface it by saying this. I don't watch the dudes, okay? I don't watch the dudes. I like the young ladies, okay? It's kind of me. So when I see Wimbledon on the screen, I scroll to it, I click on it. If it's dudes, I change it, okay? For whatever reason. I just think women's tennis is better. And the main reason is the legs, okay? I don't know if any athletes or any people have better legs than tennis players, period. And I turned it on the other day, and there was a USA player against Azarenka. I don't know where Azarenka is, but this United States tennis player, her last name was Bellis, B-E-L-L-I-S. So I stopped, I looked, and she has the best legs I've ever seen, okay? And then I started getting creepy because being 50 years old, I'm looking at her and she's young. So then automatically I Google her and it comes up and she's 18 years old. Okay, so I'm not illegally creepy, okay? But my daughter, I have a daughter in her 20s, so it's weird. But you got to give somebody love for the legs. But I'm telling you, go Google this young lady, Bellis, and she has the best legs I've ever seen. Like, I like my legs a little meatier, a little athletic, and she was absolutely fabulous. So now she has a fan in me. I don't know if she's ever going to win a game. She lost the first round against Azarenka, who's a better tennis player, although she beat her up in the first set. But I'm going to keep my eye on this Bellis young lady because I think she's going to be a star, whether she's a great tennis player or not. I guess you have to be great to be in Wimbledon, but having those legs sometimes is more important when it goes along. Sharapova was a great tennis player, but she probably got her endorsements because of her appearance. If we don't, we all understand that. So appearance definitely goes a long way. Now, Venus Williams was out there, and she won her first round. And Venus has been through a whole lot of stuff. Venus Williams, I know she's been through some physical ailments. I think her sister got murdered, which Serena would be going through as well. So Venus has been through some stuff. And if you didn't hear, Venus Williams was in a fatal car crash in June, which is right around, it was just happened not too long ago. She was in a fatal car crash and killed somebody, okay? And there was no citation, there was no charge. And now they're finding out that she was at fault, all right? So we all drive crazy sometimes, and you can swerve and hit somebody. Anybody can do that. We all drive crazy. But I guess they found out she was at fault, and she was to the point where I guess she was, almost secluded for a while because she was going through a bad thing. You kill somebody, you got to deal with their family. You got to deal with the mental anguish of all that. So after her first round victory, she was up there on the podium, and I guess they were told to not bring it up, okay? And probably the worst thing you can do to somebody in the media is tell them not to bring it up. So somebody in the media brought it up, and there was poor Venus Williams, vulnerable as hell, up on the podium. And, athletes at times can be fake, okay? I watched Venus Williams, look at the camera, bow her head a little bit, and what I saw come out was real, because there was 2 minutes of silence, and it felt like every emotion that she ever had came oozing out. And I really felt for her, because I don't know the whole situation. Supposedly there wasn't drugs or alcohol involved, but she was at fault. So these were real emotions that came out. It was 2 or 3. It could have been 4 minutes. It seemed like 4 minutes where she was attempting to speak, and nothing was coming out. Finally, she just broke down, and she kind of walked off, and I guess she had enough wherewithal to come back and finish the interview. But to me, that was real emotion. because, you know, you can act a fool, but when you kill somebody and remove somebody from the earth, you know, there's a lot of other people out there that you're dealing with. So, you know, I'm hoping it all works out for Venus Williams, but when something like that happens, I don't think it ever goes away, unfortunately for her. Now, there's a couple other crazy stories that have been in the news as of late. I was watching, it was on Outside the Lines, and you have to go watch this. This is a must watch. There was an Outside the Lines episode, and there was a Rochester football player, and never heard of Rochester football. I don't know what division it is, maybe Division III. He was with his boys, and they were out chasing skirts, and that's what football players do. He was out there chasing skirts, and him and his boy were going after some young ladies on Facebook, and the young lady said, come on and hang out with us, and we'll have a great time. So he meets up with these guys and these two young ladies, and the two young ladies take him to their house. So they roll up in the house, and the house looked a little seedy, smelled of feces, smelled of urine. So the football player, they had a bad feeling. So just as they were thinking that it's time for us to leave, 10 dudes in masks jump out of the closet. 10 dudes. Okay, and these guys were fit, athletic football players. As they're trying to run out, they shoot him 2, 3, 4 times. Busted open his femur. And when you watch it, you're going to get a bad feeling in your stomach because people are evil now. I don't know if people used to be as evil as they are now, but people are inherently evil now. It's the weirdest thing. Like, there's people torturing people on Facebook. There's so many things happening that I don't understand. So 10 dudes come out, you know, to obtain somebody for ransom, to get money and stuff like that. I mean, that's been happening forever. But for these guys, these masked guys, to be videotaping what they did to these two football players, one football player wouldn't even speak, okay? He wouldn't even go on camera. They didn't show his name or nothing. This one young man had enough, you know, gall, I guess, to talk to everybody. The story that he told was crazy. And some of it was videotaped, and they showed it. They were tortured with chainsaws, metal pipes, irons, like irons that you iron your clothes with. They were tortured for hour upon hour. And once again, it's all documented, and it's scary. It's real scary. And when they're explaining what those guys were doing to them, I was like, man, how evil are people these days? Hitting them in the face with chainsaws, cutting the webbing of their hands and feet. You are the devil. If you're cutting the webbing of somebody's hands and feet, you are the devil himself. And they were showing them, hitting them in the face with a chainsaw, sodomized with metal bars, crazy things. So this was a 2 or 3 day affair where these devils were also taking their ATM cards and getting the numbers for them because they're torturing them and going to the ATM and getting money, which has led to their demise because the cops finally got them. But to me, it's scary that there's people out there like that and gangs of people. Sometimes you'll find a crazy person here and there, but now you're finding gangs of people doing crazy things. And to me, that's scary. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if social media is doing it. I don't know what's happening in this world. But when you see things like that where people are trying to be good citizens, you're good people, and you end up running into that, and that's never going away. He's an athletic guy now. He has problems with his hips. You know, he has problems with his knees. And listen, they busted open his femur. They threw him in the bathtub. They continued to torture him. And I don't know. I just think that the world is going to a really, really funny place, unfortunately. Another interesting story I saw on ESPN as well. And a lot of people say ESPN is struggling. And I seem to be watching ESPN quite often. Probably not as much as I used to because there's obviously more choices. But there's a Olympic star, Sonia Richard Ross. And she just came out with a book. You know, and it's not ironic that you come out with these crazy stories when you're about to come up with a book because obviously you're trying to sell books. But she said that she had an abortion one day before leaving for the Olympics. Okay. This is 9 years after. And once again, she's writing a book, so she wants people to buy these books. So a day before she left for the Olympics, she found out she was pregnant and she had an abortion, okay? And obviously she's a sprinter, so being pregnant is not beneficial to running fast, but she has an abortion. And then, you know, this is the whole argument. Is the Olympics more important than a kid? And she has a kid now. And you can look it in her eyes and she's saddened that she got rid of this kid. And the crazy part is, it all kind of led to religion. And, you know, I don't want to get in too deep into religion and your beliefs, but it's one of those things where she wasn't married, and that was one of the reasons why she had an abortion. So having a kid out of wedlock is worse than having an abortion. I thought having an abortion was also not good in religion. So once again, I'm not a religious person, so I don't know what's right and what's wrong. This Sonya Richard Ross is actually, her man is Aaron Ross, which is a former Giants football player. That's her man and the father of her baby and now her husband. So they both went through this. But can you imagine, you know, training for 4 years for something and maybe a week before you find out you're pregnant and that's going to be detrimental to what you do. And now you have to make a decision whether you have an abortion or maybe just lose, okay? So I think that's a lot of pressure for a young lady to be under. From what I heard, it hurt her relationship with Aaron Ross, which makes sense because, you know, you don't want anybody to abort your kid. I wouldn't think so. So that's a whole question of Olympics or creation. Which one's more important? You know, I see some of these people that work 4 years for the Olympics and, you know, I played professional, well, Olympics aren't professional sports, but it might as well be. Having played professional sports before, you play one game and you lose and you got a chance to redeem yourself the next week. When you talk about Olympics, that's 4 years of training. And if you're running the 110, that's 4 years of training to run 11 seconds, okay? So every half second, every quarter second counts, obviously. And when I see these guys sometimes and, you know, to train for 4 years and I see some people false start, okay? Can you imagine training for 4 years and getting your mind right and then false starting and getting disqualified? That person's never going to be the same mentally again because, you know, once again, you got to put yourself in a certain mindset to compete professionally or at that level, period. And I couldn't imagine ever sleeping again if I jumped. And I got eliminated. But I thought it was interesting because Sonya Richard Ross, she was talking about the whole situation and she wasn't against what she did, but I think she questioned what she did when it was all over. And I think people around her questioned her as well. But hey, it's your choice. I'm a pro-choice person. And I'm not going to look at anybody and evaluate them for what decisions they make because that's their world. But I guess it makes for good reading for a book. I'm sure that's not why she did it in you know, way, way back when. But that's another story that you need to go and check out because I found that interesting. Almost to the point where I don't know what the name of her book is. I'm sure I'm going to Google it. I'll find out. But almost to the point where it's going to make me go and read the book. It's interesting to me because I know that had to be a really, really tough time her going through that. And her man as well, who's in the NFL. That's a whole lot to go through for, you know, for any couple. That's for sure. Now, I'm not a Charlie Sheen fan. Okay. And I'm be honest with you. I don't know who should be because I, just because you made a couple of good movies and you had a couple of good sitcoms doesn't make you a good person. And I've never seen Charlie Sheen do something to make me think he's a good person. And that's just me. Okay. And you can like Charlie Sheen. That's fine. Now, believe it or not, something positive came out of Charlie Sheen saying that he was HIV positive. You wouldn't believe these numbers. HIV home tests have gone up 95% since Charlie Sheen made this announcement. 95%. Why is that good? It's good because people with HIV will know when they won't be out in the streets. That's a good thing. I don't know where you were. I'm probably a little older than you. Maybe, maybe not. But I remember exactly where I was when Magic Johnson said he had HIV. I remember exactly where I was. I was in a sports bar on Hillsboro hanging out. I was with Tony Mayberry. I remember. And I was like, dang, Magic Johnson has HIV? That's crazy. So back then, in the early 90s, we didn't know squat about HIV. We really didn't. Now I think we know a whole lot more. And one thing that I believe I know, that it's hard to contract HIV through heterosexual sex. And at that time, you're like, well, Magic Johnson is heterosexual. And since then, I question it. Okay, because I played for the Philadelphia Eagles back in the day. And our head coach was Ray Rhodes. And Ray Rhodes had some great stories. But they weren't stories. There was real life stuff that he went through. And he wasn't a guy who would lie. Okay? So the crazy part is, we were talking about Magic Johnson and how he contracted AIDS, HIV through heterosexual sex. And Ray Rhodes, our head coach, stopped and he goes, y'all crazy. And I said, well, what's up, Ray? He goes, back in the day, I was in the Lakers locker room and I saw Bob McAdoo sitting on Magic Johnson's knee naked. Magic Johnson was naked and Bob McAdoo was naked. I'm not sure what world you're from, but I grew up in locker rooms. Naked dudes don't touch each other, okay? At all. Let's get that straight. And this is not homophobic. If a naked man is sitting on your naked lap, you're a homosexual. That's the way it is. I mean, I don't know of any heterosexual guys that want a naked guy sitting on him. And, you know, with Magic Johnson, there was always the rumors of Arsenio Hall, and he was in that little circle with Arsenio Hall and Charlie Murphy and those guys. I put Isaiah Thomas in there. I think he's weird. He's kind of odd too. But there was something going on there, and I think there was some stuff being masked. And in the meantime, when you look at some of these stars like Magic Johnson and Charlie Sheen, and I'm going to put Tommy Morrison in there too, all of them fought it and beat it to where they didn't have a trace anymore. Doesn't that make you think there's something out there? Because if you have a lot of money, it seems like you can live your life and it not be a big deal. If you're poor, you die. So Magic Johnson, this was early 90s. I want to say 91 off the top of my head that happened, which HIV announcement. Magic Johnson looks better than he did then. And he's getting old now. He's bigger, stronger. Tommy Morrison at one point said he didn't have a trace. I think he died since, if I'm not mistaken. And Charlie Sheen now says he doesn't have a trace of it either. That makes me think there's something out there in Hollywood and around money. And there's been conspiracies for a long time that there's, you know, a cure for AIDS. There's been a conspiracy for a long time. And it makes you think when you see people like the names I just mentioned, and they're saying that they no longer have traces of it. It makes you say, I don't know. So once again, not a Charlie Sheen fan, but if anything good happened out of Charlie Sheen contracting an HIV virus, it would be that now people are actually heading out there and getting their HIV tests. They're doing home HIV tests. And if he did one good thing, it's that. Now, pop culture-wise, I watch a lot of television. I don't think I watch a lot of television, but I enjoy sitting on the couch watching a little television to unwind. That's kind of my thing. For 4th of July was a day that I didn't have much work to do. I did some work in the morning, then I kind of went home, and I was planted on that couch for a good 6 hours, we'll say. And I watched a Rocky marathon, the movie Rocky. I watched by three of them. Love those movies, by the way. And then as I get older and I watch those movies, there's some of the best characters with some of the worst acting I've ever seen. Like Clubber Lang, Mr. T, is one of the best characters ever. And as I watched it, boy, he's a terrible actor. It's a long time ago, but the acting is god-awful. But the character is fantastic. Sylvester Stallone, early, was a terrible actor, but his character was fantastic. And you can go on as we go through. Carl Weathers is pretty good all the way through, actually, because I think he was an actor way back when. And this is when Stallone just kind of came out and he did his thing. I got much love for Stallone in general, okay, because I just think he's done a lot of fantastic roles. Other than Oscar, anybody has seen the movie Oscar? That is the worst movie ever. You want a good laugh? And I don't mean laugh in a good way, just like a sad, like, who the hell made this laugh? Go get the movie Oscar that Sylvester Stallone starred in, and you will definitely get a good belly laugh. So on the 4th of July, I sat down, I watched a Rocky-a-thon, and then I kind of flipped a little bit. And I want to say it was on BET possibly, but they had, it was a documentary or a series, The New Edition Story. Now, I'm a big New Edition fan, and if you're into pop music and hip hop music, and it's kind of something that crossed over a little bit, you're a big New Edition fan as well. That was an unbelievable series. And I start watching that, then I couldn't stop watching that. The music was fantastic. There was a lot of stories that I knew that I didn't know of that I watched in that movie. There was a lot of feuding going on in between. Bobby Brown was crazier than I thought he possibly was, doing a lot of drugs, banging a lot of women, okay? But the story itself was excellent. The movie was excellent. The music was excellent because they were using original stuff. Unlike that crappy Jimi Hendrix movie where they didn't play any Jimi Hendrix music, that doesn't make any damn sense. But the whole thing was wonderful. The way it went together, the way Ralph Tresvant came along, the way Johnny Gill came along, the way Bobby Brown was kicked out of the band, the way Boyz II Men came up and introduced himself and did a little song for them, and that's how they got introduced, and that's how they came on the scene. So there was so much, so many good stories within this wonderful movie that I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch it. It's a series. I watched probably 3 or 4 different episodes of this because I couldn't stop watching it. And if you're a New Edition fan, and I've heard people say before that it was excellent, and I never really thought about watching it. I was like, yeah, nobody wants to watch that crap. And then I started watching it, and it was excellent because, you know, they're reenacting the videos, they're reenacting, you know, the concerts to a T. So whoever did that was wonderful. So you got to go back and watch The New Edition Story. I think it's on BET or something like that. Like, normally I talk a lot of Donald Trump talk, and I'll be honest with you. Donald's been chill. Donald's been pretty chill. You know, he's going to do his morning poop Twitter every once in a while. That's going to say some crappy, stupid stuff. But Donald's been more chill. And that just means something's going to happen any minute now. You know, with him and Obama, they don't talk anymore. There's a lot of things happening now in politics that I don't think has ever happened before. And I said this. I filled in for Drew Garabo yesterday. I said, there's got to be a point where, you know, when you're watching these political shows, sometimes we're spending a half hour on a tweet that Donald Trump put out there. Go back and look at Donald Trump's tweets. They've been the same forever. He doesn't really tweet about issues, and they broke it down on one of the stations of what he tweets about. He tweets about himself a lot. He tweets poorly about other people a lot. He dogs a lot of people out a lot, but he doesn't really tweet too much about issues. And as a president, I think that should be the most important thing out there. But I'm to the point now where I'm done being shocked anything he does. And I'm kind of numb to it now. And, you know, every time I do this podcast, it's usually a big Donald Trump section. I think they're going to get smaller now because it's the same thing. And until something different happens, there's a lot of the same things happening, the same patterns. And I'm going to tell people, stop being shocked. I'm not going to be shocked anymore. Now, one thing I was shocked about was your boy Chris Christie. They shut down the beaches, and him and his family were the only ones sitting at the beaches. Okay, you're a politician, great. But if everybody else can't go to the beach, don't take your fat ass on the beach. And, you know, I'm a portly guy myself, not that fat. Because, you know, you don't get to dog fat people out, but He's to the point where he needs some dogging. You know what I mean? And he certainly shouldn't be at the beach, whether there's people there or not. And he was there with some shorts, and he was wearing no shorts out. And a helicopter came over, and he saw the helicopter up there, and you know he was ashamed of being on a closed beach, okay? So I guess you have some privileges, I guess, of being the governor, but hey, I don't know if they should come like that. And if you think I'm dogging him out for no reason, go and Google a picture of him that he was in that baseball outfit. Don't do that again, Chris Christie. Don't put that baseball outfit on again. Listen, baseball managers shouldn't even wear baseball outfits. Just baseball players, athletes should. I never wondered why do baseball managers wear the uniform? Would it look good if Bill Belichick came out in a full uniform with shoulder pads? Would that look good? Well, put him in some suits, or put him in a sweatsuit. Put him in a nice velour jumpsuit or something like that. But they should bar that. Seriously, it looks odd. I feel bad for Joe Biden, who is a pretty sophisticated guy, running out in a uniform. That, to me, that's not an overly sophisticated thing. Now, the one story this week that bothered me, I've talked about pit bulls before on different shows, and there's people that are very passionate about pit bulls, and that's okay. I'm passionate about pit bulls too. Like, I don't want to be around them. Okay. I just don't. They don't look like they like me. I certainly don't like them, and they terrify me. That's the way it goes. I don't want to touch a pit bull. I don't want to be around the pit bull. That's me. I have a French bulldog, Ziggy. He weighs probably a pound and a half. He's cute. If Ziggy gets mad and bites you, he might break skin. You know, if a Shih Tzu attacks you, you might leave a mark on your skin. Maybe. If a pit bull attacks you, you're going to the hospital. And that's at least going to the hospital. So, you know, if you're a pit bull owner, and I'm sure there's some very nice pit bulls, I'm sure. But if a pit bull gets pissed, just like any dog does, just like you and I do, somebody's going down. And there was a story in the Bay Area where 5 pit bulls got out of somebody's house and jumped out the window. Let's go back. 5 pit bulls. Nobody should have 5 pit bulls, okay? That's a pack of dogs. And what happens when if there's a pack of any animals? They have that mentality. They're going out and kill. So these 5 pit bulls get out, and they attack this sweet black lady on the street, biting her in the face, biting her in the chest, biting her everywhere. They had to be maced to get off her. Beaten and maced. So we can keep on applauding pit bulls, and there's nothing we can do to eliminate them, I don't think, at this point. But I don't know. It's got to get to the point where we got to do what's good for our society. And pit bulls, to me, they ain't good for our society. And I hope no pit bull ever gets after my French bulldog Ziggy, because he's a tough little dude, but he's going to catch his ass. He's going to get his ass whooped, no doubt about that. So we were going to talk about another podcast will be coming up real, real soon, probably in the next couple weeks. I'll be doing a little football podcast. I'll continue to do Flavor in Your Ear because I love to do it. We're going to do a little football podcast as well, because football is kind of my thing. And once football season starts, I have some stuff to get off my chest. And you really can't do that on 102.5 The Bone. I can, but it's not really a sports station. So that's coming up real soon. I love talking to you guys. I appreciate you guys listening. And that's what it's all about. It's about me being able to get this out every single week. So I appreciate you guys listening. I'll be back next week. And do me a favor, stay out of trouble and be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles. And check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor. Flavor.
This is Jim Fannin, America's Zone Coach, and I'm excited about bringing my new podcast, The Jim Fannin Show, to RadioInfluence.com. Each week, we're going to talk about the zone and how this mindset can help you in all facets of your life. I'll give you all the tools you need to change your life and help guide you to become your genuine, authentic best self. With the only proven blueprint for attracting the zone mindset, I've helped transform millions of lives. In my 40 years of experience, I've coached CEOs and senior executives from 350 of the Fortune 500 companies in 50 different industries. I've coached professional athletes, Olympic gold medalists, Hall of Famers, all pros, all stars, entertainers, and so many more to help them gain the tools and techniques to create a life of simplicity, balance, and abundance. And now it's my privilege to bring these methods to you every week, along with some of my champion good friends as special guests. If you want to get in the zone in all you do, check out the Jim Fannin Show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.